Good morning. It's definitely a privilege and honor to be in the house of God this morning to worship Him once again in spirit and in truth. It is my prayer that everybody is in a good mood in spite of what happened to the game yesterday. I know a lot of y'all got sad faces, but many of y'all ain't like me. But fortunately, I'm not one to boast. I'll take the win and we'll move on. Just one game. But on a serious note, many folks feel a certain way about that game yesterday, and I got to thinking, what if people would actually care about their souls the same way they care about a football game? When you look at that, people yell, they get fired up, they get excited, they're very into it. But when it comes to their souls, sometimes it's just, we're just going through the motion. Matthew 16 and verse 26 is where we're going to start, and I don't intend to be extremely long tonight. I'm probably going to cut this lesson a little bit short because I'm excited about what's supposed to happen this evening. We have a couple young men that's been preparing themselves, and they will be speaking to us tonight. And I'm going to beseech and beg that if you are able to come back to hear what they have to say, you might be encouraged. They might even inspire you to do more than what you're doing at this particular time. After all, it's never too early. We can never be too early when it comes to serving God. Matthew 16 and verse 26. As you can see, this is a very serious matter. Jesus speaking said, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Now, Georgia Bulldogs, well, yesterday they were awarded according to their works. Right now they're working a little bit harder than the Gators, and they're executing a little bit better. But I've been on the other end of that, where the Florida Gators have had it. But nonetheless, we get all emotional about that, but it's just the game. When it's done, it's over, you move on to the next thing, you're trying to move on. It's just a game. But we can't play with our souls. Our souls is our most prized possession. If your house was on fire, two things I would want to grab. My lovely family, and I would want to bring my soul. That's all I need. Everything else could be replaced. But what are you really going to do in order to make sure your soul is safe and secure? See, if you go through this life and you lose your soul, it's not good. Have you ever seen someone who was serious about something versus someone who was flipping about a matter? Let's say, for instance, you ever seen somebody who's so serious about making sure that they are presentable when they walk out the house, and you see someone that just gets up and throws something on and walk out, look crazy, don't wash their face, and you look at them and say, "Man, did you look at yourself? Did you walk out?" I'm mindful of that. My older brother used to sit in front of the mirror. He would look 20, 30 times before he leave. My younger brother used to just get up and go. And he used to drive my mom crazy. And she said, "You know what? I ain't even worried about it, Robert. One day a little girl going to say something to you and it's going to change your mind." He was about the fifth grade. A little girl said something to him. Next thing you know, every morning he started washing his face, putting lotion on, making good and all that stuff. And my mom came to him and said, "What little girl said something to you?" And he just kind of laughed. See, the word serious means a grave concern or sober disposition. Weighty, heavy, important. Critical, crucial, dire, essential, urgent. Husband, have your wife ever told you, "We need to talk"? Those are some words when you hear that, it all depends on what's going on. You don't want to hear it because you know it could be heavy, it could be serious, it could put you in a situation where you're uncomfortable. But nonetheless, you have to talk about those things. This morning, title of our lesson is, "I am resolved to be serious about my soul." Man's soul. Every human being has a soul. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, the Bible says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to kill, to destroy both body and soul in hell." Several points we can make about our souls. It is our actual self. It can exist without our body. It is a spiritual entity. It can be stained with sin. It is of grave concern to God. It is of grave concern to Satan. it survives death, it will be judged by God. It is our most valuable possession. Matthew 16 and 26 says, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What it means to be serious about one's soul. To be serious means to be aware, to have knowledge of, to be alert. Now, if you think about having knowledge and being alert, it requires that you position yourself to make sure that you are ready to seize the day. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. In Proverbs 14 and verse 8, we can get a little glimpse of something. I feel myself getting excited, so I'm going to slow myself down. I know I talk fast, and if I talk fast and I start quoting stuff, I get through stuff extremely fast, and I see some faces, and I got a few that are coming, tell me just slow down just a little bit. So I'm going to calm myself down. I want to read Proverbs 14 and verse 8, okay? The Bible says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Let that marinate and you think about that. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Now, understanding his way requires that we spend time in his word. When you spend time in his word, you must read it. Not only read it, you must understand it and apply it to your life. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, the Bible tells us that we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Jesus told us in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, when we know those facts, we can understand that conceptually. But can we put it in context? And when the road meets the road, we have to actually live. Now, it says the wisdom of the prudent is to understand the way. Now, when you understand the way, do you realize that it's going to cause you to actually have to make some adjustments and changes to how you thought, how your thought process, how you approach life, how you deal with people? Let's say, for instance, what would you do if someone came up to you at a gas station and said, hey, can I get some money for gas? Suppose you got a couple gas cans that you're filling up for your lawn equipment and various things, but you're sitting there having a conversation with your head. Why would you come to the gas station without money to get gas, and now you're asking me for gas, and you're wondering, if this person really want gas, or you know, what are they doing? But let's say you make up in your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to go inside. I'm going to pay for $10 or so for this man's pump on his gas. I ain't going to give him the money, but if you want the gas, I'm going to put it on the pump, right? So you go inside to do this, and in the process of doing this, your can's outside, and this man takes your cans. And when you get back, you see your cans are going, you see him trying to put it in his car. What would you do? See, when you went in there, you went in there with the mindset to serve Christ, to do the right thing. But something's changed between then and now. Would you take the gas, tell the man he can't have the gas? Or would you still allow him to have the gas and say, you will be blessed, and I will allow you to have this glass because Jesus will want you to have it. Because Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify God on this behalf. If you give them the gas in spite of how they treated you, in spite of them trying to steal from you, who will get the glory? Could you imagine if you told that person, I'm still going to give you the gas. Just give me my gas cans back. I want you to think about this. See, so many times in life, we can start off wanting to do something for someone, and they can respond in a certain way, and it'll cause us to alter how we want to interact and treat that person. We shouldn't allow that to happen because Jesus still went to the cross in spite of how we were going to respond and treat him. How many of us have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and we go back to the sinful pollution of this world, living a life in which we go to the far country, in which we reject to do things his way? Yet and still, if we come back and we ask for forgiveness, his blood will still cleanse us as if it never happened. Many of us today sometimes lose sight of that. To plan and purpose for the soul, we must be intentional when it comes to our souls. We know that we have one. Now what will we do with it? In Deuteronomy 10 and 12, the Bible says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? See, what does the Lord require of thee is something that we all have to understand. Every Christian, God requires to share the message with other people, to be an example to the non-believers, to shine as light in this world. You don't sometimes don't even have to say a word. Sometimes you just have to live. And people might say, there's something different about you. When Johnny lied on you at the job, you took it. You didn't get mad. You didn't fight back. But you took it, and you continued to do things a certain way, and you allowed your work to speak instead of your words. We must give our souls to God. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. How many of us are willing to give our souls to God? See, when you give your souls to God, you give yourself, everything about yourself. We're also told that we should love the Lord with all our soul and mind. And we understand that conceptually, but do we do it? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. After all, we're talking about your most prized possession. It's not your kid, it's not your wife, it's not your mother, it's not your father. It's your soul. What will you do? Will you give it to the Lord? Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with their pure heart, fervently. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. One of the purest loves you can ever see is a mother with their child. I can see sometimes the love that my wife has for my daughter when I'm at my wit's end and frustrated. I see she has another gear that she can get to a place that I often pray and ask God to help me to get to that point. But when you see it up close and personal and you see that love, you start saying to yourself, man, that's great. But then when I compare that love of a mother to the love of Jesus, I say, God, look past our faults. And he saw our needs and he allowed his son to leave heaven, come to earth and provide a way for all mankind to be saved. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, and then you look at Ephesians 5, and you start looking at the husband role and the wife role, and you look at God has said that I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's a huge responsibility. That's a work that I'm always going to, I should never be satisfied with how I love my wife. I should be striving to get better and better each day. Do I fail? Yes. But do I want to do what God wants me to do? Yes. But I have to ask, I have to pray and continue to ask him for the wisdom to help me to be able to do exactly what it is that I have to do. If we have not entrusted our souls into the Lord's care, we're like a lamb wandering in the dangers of the wilderness by ourselves. We must feed our souls. The soul involves the inner man. It needs nourishment as much or more than our physical man. We do this through obtaining the knowledge of God's word. In Colossians 3 and 10, the Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How many of us are renewed in mind? See, you can't be a new creature and have the same old mind. When you become a new creature, you got to understand that your way of thinking, if somebody slap you across your face, as hard as it might hurt, the new man might say, you know what, I'm going to allow you to have that. I'm going to exit this circumstance, this situation, to prevent myself from doing something that I shouldn't do. Or it might be a situation where they try to attack you. You might say, you know, I'm going to defend myself, but I'm not going to hurt you. You might restrain someone versus, you know, putting your hands on them. You know, I look at a brother like D'Angelo. I can imagine, I remember playing football and stuff with him. D'Angelo is a big guy. He's a nice guy. He could be intimidating to some. But D'Angelo would not hurt someone today. Years ago, he probably would have. Years ago, I would hurt somebody, even when I was a Christian. If you put your hands on me, I would treat you in that manner. But guess what? When you learn Christ and you continue to grow, you know what happens? Your mindset changes. When people are trying to start a fight with you, you might just walk away. You don't care what people are saying. You're leaving that situation because you understand that you represent God. When Jesus was slapped across his face, spit upon, mocked, laughed at, beaten. Do you realize that he could have called 10,000 angels and utterly destroyed everybody, but he took it patiently. And he left us that example to follow. If we choose to follow his example, we're often going to be doing things that does not make sense to the world. See, when your mindset is to do what God says, you know what? You change your way of thinking, and your way of thinking changes your actions. God requires that we be leaders and not followers. Jesus was the ultimate leader. In spite of what people said, he continued to serve God and continued to do what he had to do. Meet me in Ephesians chapter 6. We must protect our souls. We need to protect our souls like we sometimes protect that last piece of cake or something that we have on Thanksgiving that we've set aside for ourselves. And we tell anybody in the house, that's mine. I don't set that aside. Do not touch. If you touch, you will go to jail. You will be in some trouble with me. True story. I remember when I first got married, this is what I learned how it was going to be. Real quick. And we went out to eat one place, and we got out, and I ordered enough so I could have food for that night, and I have a meal when I get home from work. That was going to be my dinner. So throughout the day, all I'm thinking, I got these ribs, I got my mashed potatoes, I got my cornbread. It's going to be ready for me when I come home. I intentionally did not eat this last night so I can enjoy this today. So I go through my day, I come home, open up my refrigerator. This prior to Riley, you know. I'm like, man, I'm ready to eat this food. Whoo! Boy, where's that, man? I'm looking. The next thing I finally asked, I said, you see my food, Shakira? Oh, yeah, I ate that. Whoa. Now, I love my wife. I put her interest before mine, but I was disappointed I didn't get to eat that food. Now I said, next time if you want to eat, just do me this one favor. Just give me a call and tell me that you're going to eat it. Now her food that she had, typically when we go out and order food, my food typically always tastes better. For some reason. And, you know, like that time her food was off. I had tasted some of her food. It was bad. But she worked and she ate that food. I understand she needed to feed her soul. But I was sad. I was sad. But we must protect our soul. I was protecting that food. I put it in there, but, you know, it is what it is. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 14, the Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. This is how we protect our souls. And see, husbands, wives, when you got children, this is what we got to do. We got to have our loins girded about with truth. We need to be presenting that to our children. They need to put their belt on, too, when they leave the house. Because you done told them how to act and how to respond. So when folks start talking foolishness, remember you got that belt of truth on. And the truth will set you free. And the truth would also cause you to, it'll cause people to leave you alone. And have it on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, this is what it's about for everyone in our household. We must protect our souls and we protect our house by telling them to put these things on. We got to put the whole armor of God on every day. See, when you put these things on, you're able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Sometimes, the wiles of the devil, sometimes they start as soon as you get up. You go to work, you got those complainers. You walk in. The system ain't working. I've been here an hour. The system ain't working. I got another report to do. You got those complaints as soon as you walk in. What do? You can join in. Because if they got it, you saying to yourself, I wonder what I got. Or you could say, well, you know, it could be a whole lot worse. You got a job. You have a place. You have work to do. Now, you could be concerned if you ain't have nothing because they could be telling you, well, we ain't got nothing for you to do. We might need to send you home. Or you got the latest gossip that's going on. You know, this new little saying that people be saying on, and it's funny. My wife had said something to me about it the other day. People always talking about this, stay woke. And I be sitting there looking at stuff that people say, and they sound some staying woke, and they're very ignorant. the ignorance of God's word when they say certain things. But just because you say something, you're speaking loud, does not make it right. See, we as Christians need to take the time to checkmate that stuff sometimes. So you have to sometimes speak up and let people understand what the facts are. The Bible is right. Jesus is Lord. God's will has not changed because a president said that a man and a man could be married, or a woman and a woman. None of that. Those rules did not change. You know, laws of the land allowed to happen. But you have to understand the Supreme Court, the supreme law, the determining council has said God created Adam and Eve. He created man and woman for companionship and procreation. God is right. Man is wrong. So you got to understand that we have to start teaching our children these things early on. Riley's six. But there's some things that we've seen in child care facilities and things that's just crazy. Imagine your child being invited to a birthday party to Johnny, who has two mommies, or Billy, who has two daddies. What are you going to do when they ask, can they go? Now, are you going to subject them to that? Are you going to explain it to them? That's just the fact of life. See, Satan has been attacking the family. Because if he gets the family, guess what? The world is a mess. That's his biggest attack has been on the family for years. And we as Christians have made a grave error always saying each generation is worse than the next. All the time I was growing up, back in my day, this and that. I start listening to that, y'all music so bad, and then I'm saying that stuff, then I start going back. I was one when people said stuff like, I don't just take that and run with it. I start pulling up Ray Charles, and I start listening to his lyrics. Start looking at Stevie Wonder. People saying My Sharia Moore, they love that song. But when you understand the history behind that song, he was writing about a woman that he was having an affair with. Marvin Gaye, people talk about him. Oh, how they love his song. Sexual healing. When I get that feeling. Well, last time I checked, the scripture said marriage is undefiled. Marriage. Not a fling. Marriage is the only thing that gives you that right to do that. But if you listen to what the Bible has said over and over and over and over again, even in the Old Testament, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. If there's nothing new under the sun, guess what? It's been that way the entire time. Satan is just hidden it, dress it up, and reveal. Sometimes when we don't look at things with the lenses of the Bible, guess what we do? We start making excuses and saying things are getting worse. Things have continued to remain the same because we got the same issues, the same problems, the same thing is how people responded. So next time when you think about that, just as when Brother Jerry a few months ago taught that lesson on Thomas, and our folks always gave Thomas the mindset of he was the one that he doubted. But when you looked at how he took us through that book of John and showed us those various examples of how Thomas often said things that was very critical to our Christian faith and our belief. And it gave us a different perspective. Our elder came up and said, Brother A.C. said, I will never look at Thomas again in that way. It's almost unfair that we've said Thomas was one that doubted. Because if you keep looking, you always see Jesus said they all fled. But sometimes we didn't highlight that. But we must protect our souls. Remember, Satan is concerned for our souls. He has acted upon others. He has falsely accused Job. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. He desired Peter. He entered into the heart of Judas. We must never forget our souls. Terrible things can happen when we forget our souls. Examples. When we forget to lock the doors, terrible things can happen. There was a home invasion years ago in Jacksonville, that happened because someone left their garage open. These young boys between the age of 12 and 15, they went in and terrorized this family. They went in, they tied them up, hit them across the head, stole their cars, rode all around Jacksonville, just doing this to people, three or four people. All because somebody locked their door. So I say this to say this. I love the fact that my wife from New York, she don't trust nobody. Them doors locked. Them doors are locked. And even if I locked the door, sometimes, you know, I might be slipping. I think I done locked the door. Did you lock the door? One time I thought I locked the window. She went behind me and pulled it up. The alarm went off. And I tell myself I have to do a little bit better job. But, you know, sometimes we got to make sure that we protect ourselves. Forgetting to take your medicine. You ever seen people that say they need to take their medicine? Well, I ain't taking that medicine. All the doctor wants to do is give me some medicine. I take the medicine, you don't have problems. You don't take it, next thing you got a whole bunch of problems. Now, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said in his Bible. He said, when you're sick, you need a physician. When you don't have a problem, you don't need a physician. You decide. You make that decision. What about forgetting a child in the car? We see that happen a lot in Florida. People be in such a hurry, they've left their children in the car. Children have heat exhaustion. Some of them have died and lost their soul because of negligence. What about failing to lock the car seat? Now, I failed to lock the car seat. Driving fast and trying to get somewhere, my wife let me have it. Oh, kids will call you out. Got that cell phone, you at that light, somebody send you a text, you want to respond? Daddy, I thought you and mommy said you're not supposed to be texting. What you do when a child tells you that? Thank you. I've got so to the point to where I'm not tempted to where now she gets in the car, I give her the phone and allow her to look at the phone. She can watch Netflix, because you know what? If she's watching Netflix, guess what? I don't have that temptation. I don't have that as a distraction. See, she's helping me to do what I know I need to do. See, you can know what you need to do and still not want to do it. Well, it's all right if I just respond to this text. This is an important text. Brother AC asked me a question. I want to respond to this question. One time, Ryder said, Daddy, why don't you just pull over and send him a message? And then we can get right back on the road. So she's been trained, you know. She's been trained to help me protect my soul and stay on track. Why aren't people concerned about their souls? Many people are not concerned about their soul. They do not understand that they have a soul. Perhaps they have never been taught that they have a soul. People have never been taught about the need to be able to swim. Some people have never been taught about the need to be able to swim. Never. They ain't never have no desire to swim or nothing like that. Then you have your grandchild jump in a pool of water. What you think they do? Instinct, they jump right behind them. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen one of my great aunts, her grandbaby jumped in the pool. She didn't know how to swim, but she jumped right in there behind him. Fortunately, there was other people that could help out, but it's important to know certain, try to expose yourself and learn as much as you possibly can. You might not be the best of them, but learn how to do survival swimming. They got stuff for adults. If you need to learn how to swim, what would you do if you fell down in the water? Never know. You could pass out. You could be on a boat with a life jacket. Pass out. Just never know. Anything can happen. There's some people who've never been taught about the need for good health. In my family, I got a lot of people with diabetes, high blood pressure. I'm trying to tell you, I got some family members, you cook some food. No matter where you cook food, the first thing they grab the salt, put salt on everything. Ain't even tasted to see if it's okay. But when you start getting educated, you start getting taught that all of this salt is not good for you. It can cause you to swell up and cause you to have bad things. Maybe you say, you know, I like the way Lawrence tastes. But for the sake of my health, let me grab that Mrs. Dash. Let me grab something that's, you know, not as taxing. But let me not do it all the time. It's, you know, we just have to understand. When we educate ourselves, it can help us do various things. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, you know, some people do not care about their souls. With some, this is very, it's a mindset. They do not care about their soul because they do not believe they have a soul. For others, they do not care because of other matters seem to be more important and pressing at the time. School, work, planning for retirement, living out of retirement. And we also got those folks that like to make excuses as to why they can't do something. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14 real quick. See, some folks will make excuses on why we can't do what we need to do. In Luke 14, I want you to see this story. This is a familiar passage, but this is how a lot of times people treat their souls. Luke 14, starting in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, imagine if somebody invited you to come to their place, they told you all things are ready. That means you ain't got to bring anything. That means you don't have to spend any money. All you got to do is present yourself there. Now, I've been to a lot of places where they tell me, all right, well, we putting this on. I want you to bring some ice, bring a couple sides of meat. I want you to do this, do that. It's like, okay, bro, all right, I got you. You know, I want to support you. But this picture, someone telling you to come, and you ain't got to bring nothing. That's easy. I'm there all day. If y'all having dinner and y'all want to invite the powers over, trust me, I don't discriminate. Invite me over, I will come, and I will eat at your table. Ain't got no problem. Invite me. I even bring something, too, now. I'll bring something, too. But if you invite me to come, I will come and eat, okay? Now, if you got a dog, I will ask that you place it up. Just place it in a position where it can't get to me. I ain't too comfortable with them. Verse 18, and all that were with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need to go and see it. Now, that's a crazy excuse. I don't know too many people that buy land without first seeing it. Bottom line, he just ain't want to go. Could have just said, I don't want to go. And another said, I have 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. Now, if you bought oxen during this day, you already testing them bad boys. You ain't going to prove them, because you're going to test them before you get them, because if they not prove, they ain't going to be able to do what you need to do. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I'm married, I can't come. Now, my wife and most wives, like, they don't mind putting on some nice clothes and going somewhere to be treated in a nice manner, right? You mean to tell me you was invited to this thing and you could have went and you said no? Well, let me help you out. Next time you get invited to any of those things, you say yes and you let me know and we will be there. They just didn't want to go. And that's how it is in life. Y'all remember Felix in Acts 24:25? And as they reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Some people, they ain't concerned about their soul. Sometimes you got people that don't think rationally. Y'all remember Esau when he sold his birthright for some stew? What about Achan? They think of self and not God. When he stole and those the cursed things in Joshua 7, guess what happened? Now, this is one of the saddest texts in the Bible. I've done some things bad in my life. And maybe, husband, the lesson to us is this. When we do things that's contrary to God's will, don't just consider the consequences as only going to be able to affect you. Because things that happen to you can affect them too. As a result of him taking over the cursed things, he was stoned. His entire family was stoned, and they were killed because he did something. Right. Now, I'm wondering, their wife and his kids are probably like, this is happening to us. We didn't do anything. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his New Testament. People who are serious about their soul. Job, very serious. Job 1 and verse 22, after he lost his family, he lost his cattle and everything. Scripture say, all this Job said not, nor charged God foolishly. He said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. but I will maintain my own ways before him. What about Noah? The Bible said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. How many of us have the mindset to do what God tells us to do? One commandment is not to complain. Right? In Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15, it talks about do all things without complaining. How y'all do with that? I like to do better than what I do. But I have to catch myself sometimes. Because you can complain real quick. Let's say you make dinner. You got food in the house to eat. It's there. You eat it, but you complaining. Man, I won't eat this. We had this the other day. That was leftover. I wanted something fresh. So I used to be so hard that you say, read stuff in the Bible and be like, man, why are they always complaining when God taking care of them when they're in the wilderness, right? Here it is, we eat something 2 days and we got an attitude. 3 days, I ain't eating that no more. They had 40 years where they ate the same thing. But it goes to show complaining does not stop just because it's the same thing. Nothing new under the sun. Paul was one who was serious about his soul. In Philippians 3:7-8, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I'll give you a few indicators that we are sinners serious about our souls. We seek to attend all worship services and Bible classes. I'm going to say that again. We seek to attend all worship services and Bible classes. Doesn't matter if the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing. Don't matter what's going on. If you can be here, God expects you to be here. And when you think about it, when you are in the presence and gathered for the purpose of serving God, he's in the midst. Why would you not take advantage of that opportunity? You got to think about it. You don't never understand and know what these kids are learning when they get come to Bible class. They learn a lot of things. And writing, when she brings her stuff home, her homework, she's serious about it. We need to do my homework. And if you can't find it, if it's misplaced, where's it at, Daddy? Where's it at, Mommy? And she's upset and she's mad. I like it. It gets me fired up to see her excited about it. You know what you think I start doing? I could be on my way trying to get ready. I go looking for that stuff. You know why? Because she don't want her teachers to feel as if she didn't do what she was supposed to do. How many of you as adults have been challenged to do something in your Bible class and you don't even do it? Take a look at this story and read this and come back so it can help with the discussion and dialogue. Here's where we're going. And you don't even open up your Bible and read it. Indicated that we're serious about our soul. We diligently seek to fulfill our role as a member in the body of Christ. Now, y'all realize that we all have a role in the well-being of the Arlington Church of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, look at this in Ephesians. Let's look at this. Ephesians lets us know if you are a Christian, you got a job. And your job is to supply something to the body. And the body is the church. And Christ is the head and it requires that we supply something. Let's start in verse 11 in chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That's what we need to be focused on, making sure our young people not going to be tossed to and fro. They need to be converted to Christ. I've always told my wife, the one thing that I want for my daughter more than anything, if my daughter is converted to Christ, I ain't worried about her ever in life. If I died or her mom died, you know why? If she's converted to Christ, she will be smart enough. She would know how to take care of herself. Because God's word tells you how to live a prosperous life. But when you converted to Christ and you do it, you know exactly how. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie to wait to deceive. Now, you do know I've been working with our young people for a while, and sometimes you get called and you got to have some serious conversation with them, because there's some doctrines and things they be presented with that they hadn't heard. They're not as comfortable with the scriptures, and you have to help them to learn how they can defend that stuff. Because people try to get them to say, it ain't just no one church. Anything you want to do, you can do and please God. And we have some that's falling hook, line, and sinker to that stuff. That's why you got to keep teaching and keep preaching. See, that's why you got to bring in the Bible class. See, Bible class reinforces what's being taught at home. In Bible class, I know right is being taught. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. This is the first commandment with promises. We're teaching it as well, but she gets reinforced when she comes here, right? Did you know, Daddy, that Sister Sherry told me that I have to listen to what you guys say, even if I don't like it, because the Bible says that? Oh, yes, Riley, I did know that. You have to act like you don't know, because they think you don't know. But when she says that, you know what it does? It's confirmation to us that we need to continue to keep showing the way, because she's getting it. And as she gets it at home, she gets it here. Guess what happens? Eventually, she's been trained up in the way she's supposed to go. If she chooses not to, it won't be because we didn't do our part. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. See, we got to speak the truth in love. You know, preaching and teaching God's word is not comfortable. You know, people get mad when you have to tell them, look, you can't shack up and please God. People get mad. I'm not saying it to hurt your feelings, but the Bible says this. Jesus said when the woman asked at the well, he said, who is your husband? She said, I don't have one. Now, when you look at that, Jesus said that. He told her to her face. And if we seek to be preachers and teachers of God's word, we got to tell it like it is. See, that's the thing that I liked about football. You don't like it, you get criticism. You watch, you play in the game, everybody like to talk about the good things that you have done. But when you come and watch that film, the coaches are focusing on the mistakes. The things you did right, you can continue to do that. But the things you did wrong, we got to correct those things so we don't continue to do the wrong things. But speak the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is in the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make increase for the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If you want the church at Arlington Church of Christ to grow, do your part. Everybody do their part. And God's word is going to take care of everything else. Indicated that we are serious about our soul. We obey the laws of the land. We build our homes on Christian principles. We endure trials and afflictions and temptations. Refuse the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We raise our children to know Jesus and his bride, the church. One day, the state of your soul will be the only thing that matters. That day may seem insignificant now. That day may seem far away right now. That day may seem more like fiction than fact right now. But according to Acts 17 and verse 31, that day is coming. The Bible says, because he have appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, and that he raised them from the dead. Get serious now, because when it gets serious, then it will be too late to get serious. Y'all remember the man in Luke 16? And he asked the Lord to send someone to his family. And Jesus said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the message to us is this. God's word is indestructible. It's everlasting. It's going to be right. Today, tomorrow, any day. Are you resolved to be serious about your soul? Your soul is your most prized possession, and you will play a very important role whether or not it's saved or not. Think about it. God did his part. Jesus did his. Holy Spirit did his. The apostles did theirs. We got the written word. We have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. God didn't leave anything that we needed out. He gave it all to us. He gave us the plan of salvation. He said that we must hear his word, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded them that diligently seek him. Then he tells you what you got to do. Luke 13 and verse 3, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then he tells you in Matthew 10:32 and 33 that you got to confess him before men if you want him to confess you before his Father which is in heaven. But he said if you deny him, he will deny you in front of his Father who is in heaven. But he also tells you that you must repent, confess, but he says you got to be baptized. And you're going to be baptized because you want to contact the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed on the center cross at Calvary, that blood that washes our sins away, it purges the church, and has, and it continuously cleanses us. That's what you want, the benefits of the blood, you got to meet it in the water. When you go down in the water, you go down lost, but when you come up saved. When you come up saved, he will add you to his church. When he adds you to his church, you have the all spiritual blessings. You have grace, you have mercy, you have hope, you have everything that you need. And you have a relationship. You have access to mercy where you can come to God and you can communicate with him and share with him your love and your appreciation. You can talk about your problems. You can talk about your needs, and he's going to provide those things for you. He's going to counsel you. He's going to help you. All those things you can do, but you got to be in the body. Only way to get in the body is to come through his word, obey his gospel, reenact the facts of the gospel. If you reenact the facts of the gospel, you're going to be able to. You're going to die to sin. And when you resurrect, you're going to have a new life. You go from working on being on Satan's teams to being on God's team. And now once you get on God's team, you're pursuing battle every day. You're trying to be a good soldier. A good soldier trying to, you know what a good soldier does? Number one, they enlist. It's a volunteer. Not only do they enlist, they patiently drill. They drill every day. You study the scriptures so you can rightly divide it, so you can understand. But the next thing you do, you obey orders. You never forget that there's orders. There's things that you have to do. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Once you understand that, then you know what you do? You just continue to keep doing. You remain faithful unto death. And he's promised that he's going to give you reward. But if you've done that in the past and you've strayed away, the Lord calls you home because your soul is in a balance. All we have is right now. See, there's some people that want to tell you, I'm going to put God off. Just give me a couple more weeks. Let me get a few things in order. But what if tomorrow never comes? What if later never comes for you? There's so many people. You can walk outside. You can get shot. You can get in an accident. You can die. What a sad thing it would be for you to know the truth. Have an opportunity to obey God's word, and you choose not to do it. Here's a question I'll leave you with, is this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you understand what you need to do, I leave you with that question. If you love Jesus like you say that you do, why won't you obey him? If you went back to the world and you need prayer, you know someone else, please come by. Together we stand and sing an invitational song.